expression that I find smart, which is that it provides for exemplary damages. It requires exemplary damages for negligent violation. Now, I don't know of any place in the law where exemplary damages or punitive damages are provided for a negligent act. Willful improper act, yes, and gross negligence, yes, but I don't believe there's any place in the Oregon law where there's a provision for exemplary damages for a negligent violation. So I think that the offense section and penalty section 18, is very extreme. Incidentally, there is a model act in this field produced by an organization called CERT, which is a group of a number of different states which have systems similar to this, and other organizations vary, but have systems similar. That's got an organization called CERT, System for Electronic Analysis and Retrieval of Criminal History, which is beginning as CERT. But I think this is a much better act. It has definitions that I can understand. It has more reasonable penalties. Purging is limited to purging as would be required by a court or other provision of law. If the committee is interested in some statute covering this area, I would certainly recommend the CERT model act rather than the act that's been presented. I think my time is up.
Could you make that available to us, sir, and we'll make a copy of it?
The only copy I have belongs to Lieutenant Paws, and I could copy it and make it available to you, or maybe just...
We'll get it from the state police. Question to Judge Young. Mr. Burns?
Does that model act
as to yourself, yes. Yes, I say that. I say that. Again, I'm speaking to myself on that, but I do. I think it's a citizen ought to have a right to make it.
Thank you, Judge.
You know, there's criminal penalties, too.
No, there's criminal penalties, too. Well, it's the first, that's subsection 1 of section 18, I believe.
Oh, I see that as a civil.
Maybe it's considered under the new criminal code, that would be a civil offense rather than a violation, isn't it, Don?
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than criminal. That's the fact.
Thank you very much, Judge. Appreciate your time. I hate to cut everybody off, but we do have a work session to take up on another bill. We'll have another hearing on this. Those of you who are unable to testify today will be first in line on the next hearing. Yes, sir?
I have a copy of my testimony on the approval and the review also.
If you'd like to present those, we'd appreciate it. Thank you. Proposed hearing in on 2270. We have a work session on 2279. Dr. Brady, would you come forward, and Mr. Frost? We'll be back. Mr. Inspector Jones, for the members of the committee. 2279, of course, involves the state medical examiner bill, which we went through once before in the hearing. And Mr. Frost and Dr. Brady, and I believe the Association of Oregon Counties has gotten together on amendments to take care of some of the problems that were raised the last hearing. You want to see, Mr. Frost?
Yes. Actually, for the most part, this is a composite of the amendments that we presented before, plus any new amendments we're making. So a lot of these have been covered before. I think the first one is significant. Do you all have copies of the letter I wrote?
Yes.
It's, the first one is significantly different from what was discussed in the initial hearing in Section 3. And this relates, I think, primarily to the Division of Health. And this has been scrutinized pretty carefully by Mr. Bateson, or Dr. Bateson, Mr. Bateson. And with the changes incorporated here, I think we've got that one all smoothed out.
Which, where is that?
It begins at bottom page one of my letter, section three. It's a rewrite of the first four subsections of section three, and then a renumbering of the remaining two sections.
This dealt with the problem of the compensation, right?
Yes, in part it dealt with the compensation, and it deals with recommendations to be made by the advisory board. It's talking about the duties of the advisory board. And it's largely, section three is largely an enumeration of the different areas in which this advisory board is to act.
In the original bill, Chairman Cole, in 2379, section three, subsection one, we have the advisory board recommending to the state agencies the qualifications and compensation of people who are basically county employees, namely the district medical examiners and assistant district medical examiners. This was an oversight on our part when we drafted it, so the revision that we have given you today say that the advisory board shall recommend to the executive department, that's the personnel department, the qualifications for myself, recommend to the county court qualifications for the county people.
And also the compensation.
Recommended. Yes.
Just recommended.
Just recommended. No thou shalt at all.
I might point out that we did discuss this with AO2 because, very frankly, their philosophical concern was that here is what they considered to be largely a state program that was being financed by the county. It's one of the problems, I think, again, quite frankly speaking, is that most counties actually don't recognize to what extent they now financially contribute to this program. They are, in fact, contributing to the same extent and, in some cases, with much less clarity than would be brought about by this bill. But as far as dollar outlay, they're doing it right now, and it really doesn't change that.
And there's nothing in the bill that would increase or modify county costs anyway in the bill.
Along those same lines, they were concerned about the business that we talk about in section 7. This is about halfway through page 2 of my missing amendment. Section 7, subsection 2, where we change it to say that the district medical examiner shall be appointed by the medical examiner with the approval of the appropriate board or boards of commissioners, but may be discharged by the state medical examiner without such approval. This is again, candidly speaking, is a compromise to get to the heart of the problem. Counties were concerned that Dr. Brady or someone in the state medical examiner's position would be in a position to appoint a doctor on a local level that they had nothing to say about. Well, the way this is written, the intent is that the board would have something to say about the initial appointment and therefore the compensation, the whole business. But then on the other hand, the concern that the state medical examiner has is what if you have a district medical examiner who isn't doing the job? What regard does he have to pay to the state medical examiner if the state medical examiner has no control over him? So the counties do approve of the idea, as outlined here, that he may discharge this doctor without the approval of the county.
At the present time, under 146, I and the county commissioners jointly hire these guys to the county. So this is no significant change from that procedure. This is a change from the point of view that if the guy is really following up, then I command him.
Mr. Mark, can the county commissioners still dismiss or could they dismiss the
I think they, well, one, now they can dismiss, although there's a question because, and this arose in a situation this year, the reason for the second. They weren't sure whether I should can the guy, or I wasn't quite sure. Well, I was pretty sure that they said that they thought I should. Under 2279 amendments that we have proposed, I think it's implicit in the fact that they could let him go because they pay his salary.
The point is that the county commission controls the money that's involved in the way you look at it. And they control the police team, you know, so. So they quit paying him.
Get you out.
I just think some strange circumstances occurred.
Well, other than the, I'd also point out at the bottom of page two, this does embody section 11, subsection 11, or subsection 1 on the appointment of deputy medical examiners, that is, policemen or other lay people, that is, they're not doctors, who may assist. We spelled that out in the language that was suggested in the hearing, but I just want to reiterate that it's essentially the same language we had before, but it's been rearranged as Mr. Paulette suggested in order to be more clear.
This, you did change one other thing. Section 11 is written and drawn so the district medical examiner may appoint. Now
yes.
You're saying you shall appoint.
You shall appoint the two, the state police, one state police and one sheriff, and you may appoint other police officers. Now, all I'm saying is that this is in line with the amendment we handed into you before, but the language has been not changed, but the phrasing is reorganized in order to be more clear.
So in all instances with deputies, medical examiners do require?
Yeah,
yes.
Two. One from the state police and one from the sheriff's office. And this, by the way, is again, I think this is probably a step in the right direction. And if they are required, I think probably they should be, that day has come. Plus the fact that after talking with a representative of the Sheriff's Association and the state police, I can represent to you that this satisfies their concern about not being able to cover certain situations.
Our amendment, Chairman Cole, is in phrase, if you will, for the change in Section 29, which the OSC initially opposed. To the present time, by law, all state police officers are deputy medical examiners. And Mr. Holcomb has agreed to allow that provision to be deleted if, in turn, we put under Section 11, shall appoint in each county one OSC man.
Okay. And I don't know, I'd be willing to answer any questions that any other guys recognize that the amendments are somewhat extensive at this point, but
did we discuss any amendment to Section 12 in regards to pregnancy? Did we satisfy that question?
I remember there was some concern about it. I haven't proposed one here now.
Representative Katz brought it up, and it's in the law of Representative Katz simply because it always has been in all of the coroner's laws. I'm not trying to argue from that point of view. That's an explanation of why.
I'm sorry if you continue that, I don't want to change the subject.
Got a question.
Do you have a question about first and previous executive care? Section 15?
Yeah. I brought up a question. Apparently, the district attorney can't think there's any problem with it, but during the hearing, I really suspect there would not be any argument that you have to qualify and you should have to do it. But if the DAs are satisfied with this language, and I assume they are, I've been told that they don't anticipate any problems with this.
I don't anticipate it, but frankly speaking, I'm a fellow who put it in there at the suggestion of people, and, it kind of rankles me personally a little bit, and I can't think of a better solution to the problem. You recall that the problem is that you may not have the, you may not have the, a crime, therefore you may not have grounds to get a search warrant, as you understand the law, search warrants, and that there may be a need to enter someplace under someone's refusal on this. I did a lot of pondering, and as far as I can figure out, this is the best way to try and solve that problem. Maybe if there were inspectorial pictures and Mr. Collette, I would use that as an avenue. But one thing I do want to point out, this, so I will have carried out my obligation to AOC on this point, near the bottom of page 2, when I talk about amending section 8 in subsection 5, we discovered I was a little nonplussed because AOC said this extension of burial disposition of a body wasn't spelled out to say that this had to be some funds budgeted for such purpose. And then when I read the reference there, I realized that probably through the course of amendment, when it speaks of in line 24 near the end, subsection 3 of
what
section,
page are you on, Jack?
In the bill, page 7, line 24, right near the end, the word subsection, and it says 3 in the bill, and that should be 4. Subsection 4 of section 19. When you refer back to subsection 4, you'll see that very explicitly says that the commissioner shall pay such expenses or any proportion thereof as may be available from county funds annually budgeted for this purpose. I knew we had been explicit about it. I couldn't understand their concern, and I guess it was because the reference was not correct, particularly subsection 4.
You don't have that in your amendment.
Yes, I do.
I don't
page 2, near the bottom, and where I talk about amending section is sub 5.
All right. I think what we'll probably do is we'll set these amendments against our minutes for that day to see if everything is covered. If not,
right,
we'll be in touch with you.
All right. The one you mentioned about the the presence of death, and the only one that sort of brought to my mind that I didn't understand that anyone that knew that the epidemic cap was concerned about, I didn't understand it, whether or not it's fine. And the only thing I'd worry about if you took it out, I can't think of any process that you have to worry about on that subject. To the best of my knowledge, the letter that I've written covers all the amendments that anyone has brought to our attention that they have any concern about. And, admittedly, there's some compromise involved, but I think in many cases the compromise are compromises in the direction of doing a better job instead of just compromise for the sake of compromise.
Any questions, gentlemen? Okay, we appreciate you waiting around for us. We'll be here for a while. We'll go over the amendments, and if we have any further questions, we'll contact.
Fine, thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee Number 1, April 5, 1973, 1 p.m., Agenda, Work Session, House Bill 2143, 2350, and 2351. 2143, Work Session following, House Bill 2350, 2351.
Subcommittee Number 1, Chairman of the Judiciary, we're taking up first the House Bill 2143. I didn't hear it on testimony on there. It limits the term of office, does it, for the
That requires it.
AG.
It requires the negative practice. And limits the already to engage in private practice. The only testimony we've heard is from the Attorney General for the bill.
What's the reason for the two-term limitation?
I know that you said yesterday that it's harder.
This was the one on General Electric on some pipes. I know Seaside yet quite a bit out of that.
Yeah, Seaside City is coming. And to me, the way that could be, I think it didn't seem improper at all. But, you know.
So with Tennessee, the Tennessee came out of the war, they were inspected with Tennessee.
Okay. I got a very good recollection. I think that was.
Just about the same as the all the other thing, except there the Attorney General did get approved.
Yeah.
But he hired associated with other counsel, experts in the field. And I think that's what Lou did on that a pipe thing. We had other counsel. They relied on somebody up in Washington, I think, to handle the negotiation. And he got his to Sam Dunfield. He is now Sam Schultz, my partner. You told it.
And he's talking about what they had to go through to coordinate with this other lawyer. They had to get information. And to verify the basic search, the amount of search, the information, and the bid information. So there was effort, additional effort. the city council certainly has feedback approved of it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see how they can do any of those questions and answers, then involve the city general, the rest of the city.
Yeah. I would have seen the handle of negotiations, expanded the handle. Is it a building and superintendent probably discussing to make it 20 grand?
Yeah, it went into that for the system.
Well, I don't know if you ought to get involved in it a lot. Consider this one. This bill. How do you feel about it?
I move something up.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Subcommittee.
Different from the governor and the secretary of state, as different from the attorney general or superintendent of public instruction or labor commissioner. Don't these require a little more expertise and a little more, they're a little less policy making than,
Well, I don't know, in this particular office, of course, you're just talking about someone who is an administrator as much as a lawyer. He can handle a large law, which is what it is, a huge law. Once you get to his ideas and working, and have his staff pick, probably it's within a year or 2 weeks at the most, I would say, to have a system down that. But then of course he's involved in biennial battles with the legislature. Really like to take those anyway. Well, 8 years would appear to be perhaps long enough as far as a new one taking over and putting his ideas into the working staff. I know, I've always just kind of been a GM limited officer. I don't always accept the argument that we'll reach the point where you're just going to be able to remove him because I really feel that doesn't happen. If you've got a competent person running against him and the guy isn't doing a competent job in the office to hold.
Maybe you ought to look at the rules of policy underlying limitation. It's not the only legislator. Apparently, on the basis of managing the area alone, they keep an office in office.
Well, but there aren't those rather extreme situations, and I hate to impose that kind of a limitation on the whole legislature by reason of a few extreme situations.
Well, I think that means some good.
Even senators get beat once in a while, do they? Mm-hmm.
I can do some good.
Die.
want to say a fourth limitation on representing something. This is my fourth term. Everyone knows it's my fourth term, so potential is, you know, opposite this direction is to start queuing up early rather than waiting until March 14th to see whether Hampton went down and filed or not. You know, that kind of thing is just not, I think, conducive to the public interest.
How do you hurt now? Would, you know,
because
Robert Y was in 16 years, was he, and his
Van Winkle was in 17.
That would be a good way to kill this bill if you wanted to put something like that in.
What? I'm not about to put it in. That's the biggest grant.
No, I'm not suggesting that that's a desirable thing.
The Attorney General's rise in the Senate and consumer protection, I feel, you know, he's right on the firing line for the public company now. He should keep fresh face.
If an Attorney General resigns or dies, or is this successor appointed for the remainder of the term or for the next election?
For the next election.
The next election. Mm-hmm. So
the only exception, I think, is the Attorney General is our constitutional opposition. If the vacancy occurs less than 20 days before the general election, then for 2 more years. But if it's more than 20 days, then it's only in the red election. It's been on the red until then, the election will be held on that.
So, conceivably, if that could occur, he could serve. And then when the election comes, is the election for 2 years or for 4?
I don't know. Some offices are for the remaining of the term and some are for 4 years. I'm not sure. I think this one, there's one more that prefers to be for 2 years. I'm not sure.
So this says he's been elected to that office twice previously, and if it was a 2 year, he'd be elected for 2 and then elected for 4. You'd only serve 6. If that's the way it works.
I think the last is for a full term.
When you're elected?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of when you're elected mayor.
And also, the next general election is expensive, so the election for a full term.
Well, then.
So then the 2 elections will be all right.
So we do that in full committee. Motion is to move it to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there objection? So ordered. Vera had a thought that maybe this belongs in local government would have all the election laws. You might think about that when you get it in the full committee.
What are we saying?
What was, I have the names written here on this one. Sandblast and Lust, did they testify? Somebody wrote those names in here.
I got Thomas wrote that.
Written them both at the same time is what just...
Who told that?
The same bill. Norm apparently had written Sandblast and Lust. Yeah. Where are you going to say it's the full committee? 2350.
In 2350, I promised, I didn't know it was 2021. In 2350, I didn't. I promised to make a definite that I would present an amendment to him for the year. And I have him in pencil. I'm in discussion with him. But I think in fairness to me, that not the last time that I presented the amendment. I believe he gets it now.
Why don't you say
that? Okay, well, the gist of the amendment is to expand the table limit. Okay, the gist is to. Laying out the elements of damages in tabular form so that the committee can consider an item by item rather than in a linear form. That's a lot easier than to either say land or to submit a policy decision. That is a question of the damage to a child who is over 21. Present law does not allow any compensation to that child. I think that there were my mother, I am now 21. Vera dies a wrongful act of you. I have no, and assuming that God is your husband survived, I have no damage to somebody who has to love and leave you alone. The DNA is your mother, the affection,
the God
does. The counsel and vice versa is your damage, which is your answer.
The God does.
The God does as a husband, but even he is afraid of me. I'm serious. I'm excited to talk to companionship. Beyond the criminal law, it's not recoverable. That is just the principle right across. Also, I put in the
You give the adult spouse the same wages of recovery as the spouse can?
That would be the effect of it, but the deal that I have, the limit I have to actually resign to make the beneficiary the same person who would be beneficiary by intestate death, that is, dying without a will. And the court will, of course, according to the investigation.
Regardless of the age relationship,
Right. Of course,
or otherwise.
Right. And I think it's a much better deal of Canada to
So if Vera is still leaving 10 children, all adults.
All adults, then superior judge, I say the value of the loss of children as to results would be much less than what the child. Also, there's a junior damage. I don't know if I put in for
you. Would there be a requirement of junior?
No, the principal representative would still be in action for the benefit of all persons
or all
lives. And it's easier to affect distribution, too, if the court in this order of distribution proceeds to then. Say, I find that a surviving spouse and a surviving spouse would have taken X amount of the total under the law of necessity, one third, one fourth, one half, and the state law of the decedent's death domicile. That's a summary of it, but I thought it was good, but that's not true. You know, it was
crazy. Have you expanded on the elements of damage?
Somewhat. I can say that I can contribute about 10 minutes to the whole thing is going to run a mile. I can give you the draft as it was here this time.
Okay.
Okay, when did you get it, man?
We have a 10-minute rest. No, I can't take a 10-minute
rest.
Oh, it's not in tune.
Hampton, yes.
Remember to listen to
it.
Or
We set it over because we need some information from the JP. They didn't show up yet.
George, if you allow me one more question, then I'll be out. 2141 is
not today. Looks like we passed that one out, didn't we?
No, 2141 scheduled also for Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Or 10.
Thank you.
Ask Roberta out there to give you a copy of the list. rejecting me.
Okay, we're back on the record in 2350.
Okay. These are the first part of the statute.
Period of time?
The engineer,
yeah.
I learned it.
Oh, that's what I thought you said.
Can't work forward. I died.
You learned it for 6 months and died.
I died. That interim language is not contemptible. The pain, suffering, loss of income, everything. That possibly, depending on how you look at my wife, my spouse, if you're entitled to that portion of income she would have gotten had I been living, but not living, the income I would have gotten after a separate enhancement. He was in the old doctor who just came through the pipe and they had to next element is, and one that is justly, fairly, and reasonably compensated to the student to pay for pecuniary loss to the student to pay because of the action of the wrongdoing. This goes to the amount of money that I would have accumulated by my efforts had I not involved the appeal, but to be killed in the dead, other than pay my pension. And by the mean estimated life, had I not died going to, would be 40 years. In those 40 years, I would earn, I would save so much money. And at the end of that 40 years, from what I would have earned in those 40 years, I would sell what they had accumulated. $100,000 is going to give you its present value. That is, for determining what amount of money now invested would at the end of the 40 years lose $100,000. That's this element of damage. Okay. It is provided in part in existing law, but it is spelled out as a separate element of damage. It is not the money that my spouse would have enjoyed during those 40 years, because my spouse. Okay, the money I would have set aside and saved. If I'm going to kill him, I can't spend a third of that benefit on the beneficiary of the benefit. The next element is the one that I use. The one which is the main reason for this bill, because it's a good attitude of existing law. An award that justly, fairly, and reasonably compensates the beneficiary for each beneficiary. Pecuniary loss and loss of services, protection, society, companionship, comfort, and so forth because of the wrongful action. And last, if the penalty damages, if a policy damage to the main offender, penalty damages not recovered. And so, separately stated in the final number, such penalty damages as the student would have been entitled to recover from the wrongdoer if the student had lived. Now, that is not creating a right to penalty damages really based on that, the spouse, child, you know, brother or sister might have been kind of difficult to see. And that's the only time we think to think that the doctor who hired somebody to murder his wife, you know, the child then, had their own thing with the father, and that's very important. That's the gist of it. There are some other amendments of the following series of bills of statutes that deal with the apportionment, 3010, I didn't say, no action may be maintained under the section of a father or mother who is also beneficiary of the wrongful death penalty.
And then,
now these are not exclusive.
Development
are not exclusive.
They would be mutually exclusive, but in fact, I think they should be mutually exclusive, so you don't get a compounding of awards. In other words, if you instruct the jury that the jury consider that my estate would have been because of my age extended 40 years, then the jury should be told that that award, that portion of the award, so that factor in the damages, could not be confused with what my spouse would have realized, you know, in terms of pecuniary loss.
In other words, they're all separate items of recovery in and of themselves. One does not exclude the other.
No. I tried to grasp that. I'll try to get that formula and find a point. In fact, I'm down to the.
Why don't you? And you probably take it up in full committee if we have time next week.
Okay.
So you can get
it for you.
Okay. So we don't need to schedule it for another session.
No, I don't think so.
And I'll let Mr. Dunstan know as soon as it's scheduled for you to be here.
Okay, let's take up the other one in 2351 regards to attorney's fees. Did you notice that we got one through today with not one, no vote?
Oh, on the floor?
Yeah.
You were out of the.
Well, that was on the attorney's. No, it didn't.
Today?
No.
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah, it was attorney fees and the appeal to the tax.
Oh,
and it was not a negative vote.
That was a revenue.
Yeah, if you're not a revenue committee, we did have reasonable attorney fees in it, and everybody voted for it.
Yeah, that is a landmark day.
Wait until this.
Now we've got some materials that you have in front of you from the Association of Oregon Counties. Minutes on this, they're March the 7th, pages 9 through 15.
We really have no way of knowing. How does this fit in, Lou, with the other bill that we have in regards to the setting aside a portion of the filing fees for in both circuit and district courts for support of legal aid? And I think wasn't public defender going to be added into that?
It is considered, but I think it's stated the rejected adding public defender to that very well.
Not even moving it optional.
Well, I since if you made it optional, they would immediately draw all of that Republican funding. Not in the federal funding county, but if you're not in the Eugene, Washington, Lane County, Washington, Oklahoma, Marion, there's a very important place. And I don't know, there may be some others, but in counties other than those counties, I believe that the $2 card would be drawn on immediately for payment of public defense. If I were trying to do that,
couldn't it be written so that the money used for legal aid program, which may also include public defense, you'd have to establish the legal aid program.
Maybe, George, if the local program board doesn't get it with it, you know, Jefferson County, why don't they establish the controlling board for it? If that board thinks that we're going to divert X amount, or we're going to commit our legal lawyers to clear criminal cases, that would be one thing. But to say that the county commission can be flat into the field and use that money for state to transfer is something that I think is fine.
You're talking about
that
much
money, isn't it? Well, legal aid, yeah. $2 is going to be the wrong of the public school.
Well, my thought is that although legal aid may be a need, and it certainly is in the metropolitan area, it is not near the need in the smaller counties, in the smaller bars, as it is as a public defender. The lawyers handle them all, you know, indigent or not, in civil matters.
Well, we have a good deal of Western, and I asked them that a good 5% of our cases, and some of our cases, not many of our cases, just absolutely free, just because it's become a good thing, and I don't know what to do, and I'd say at least 5%, and that's one point of the course of doing it, of course, we're not going to get paid for.
The only thing a legal aid program would do in those counties is that it might bring in more people who are reluctant to go to an attorney's office.
Well,
they don't have money.
We do, and there's no question that they will pay for it, and we'll also pay for it. And if they do this, it's quiet. People will not go, and they'll let their legal problems fester instead of having them cared for. And that should not be. So, the better is,
talking about $2 in circuit court.
Thank you.
for it, that's, we're only talking about 50% for civil cases, then.
I think it is, but I don't have a CD here, I don't remember the number.
Civil matters, here we go, in my account, 504. There's 255. Well, Washington County only had 2,100 civil cases filed in this court.
Yeah, 34,000, and they did it in
that. No, that's 1,000.
Oh, excuse me, that was 2,000.
Yeah, it was 2,219.
And Circuit Court, Washington County had 2,100 in Washington County. The same circuit as it was in this.
Yeah, 2,100 is 42, I think it's about 1,000, something like that. That's $5,000. That's why we have to, because they were going to take it to a half time anyway, and then you take it from 20, didn't you?
Yeah, things go in about a fall.
Now that 2,100 included 685 criminals, which just did not
include.
Mm-hmm. And divorce is 788, I guess it included divorce, did you?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're only talking about 1,500, 3,000 bucks you've already received in Washington County this year. Even Multnomah only had that 11,000.
Are you suggesting in the
name? Court case is fine. Yeah, it isn't going to raise very much money.
Right, right.
So what's your best utilize? You can't set up a legal aid program on $4,000 in Washington.
That's not what you're saying.
It's trying to attract the media
anyway. Yeah, they're trying to attract the money without money, and they're just going to open up the shop.
Are you going to put a fix on that dough then so it can't be spent in the program?
That's not even real. In fact, it doesn't matter.
Well, now, in 2019, we had an amendment, though, that was submitted to earmark the filing fee for that big amount.
Just
here
for the
So, we're going to have a downtown place to do the
So, it would put in the county's general fund until it was utilized.
Well, wouldn't it be better to leave it in the general fund until it was gone? Or,
withdrawn now, there isn't any fund until you purchase the legal aid society.
It is, and it's up to the county. If they want to, if they establish a legal aid program, then they can impose this additional filing fee to help fund it. Well, that's not the case. But getting back to the bill before us about the attorney's compensation, really, the public defender is the only way we're going to get around this problem.
Well, there's things I can do.
These aren't all indigent.
No, they're not all indigent. And the indigent, the small cases, even with the budget monitoring office, you can do those on your own and do the job. The tough thing is you don't have to get flooded down. I don't have to get down there. But you've got a collateral federal court matter. You've got to go back to the federal court case on your own thing.
I understand. Isn't there a record check of the cases that you took on, the length of time that you've been on?
City attorneys is one firm, Seaside City attorneys another firm, and Kanabu City attorneys another firm. You get all three. You get the police involved in one, the attorneys from that firm can't represent any of them. So it just narrows down the number of lawyers that are available.
Okay, there is someone in your firm. The problem is when you drive up. At what point in the year, how many attorneys in Washington can there in you?
Thing is, the young lawyer may not be losing out financially because he may not have anything else to do anyway.
It's the
suppose Multnomah County is here, so they show up for arraignment, you know, and sit in the courtroom waiting for an appointment. You get a certain amount of that too. They want an appointment because they don't have anything else to do, because they don't have any established practice yet. But those kind of lawyers, the judges are reluctant, particularly on a felony case, to appoint them unless they're associated. Well, in Lane County, for example, we had court rule that on a felony, you couldn't be appointed as the sole defense attorney until you've been associated in two prior felony cases with experienced counsel. So not all the, you know, the young lawyers aren't getting hurt that bad in many cases. You know, it seems to me it's an example, if you look at these figures, and we've heard testimony for the last two sessions, I know, and there have been some counties, and I think Polk County last session testified to this, they did run out of money. They didn't have any money left to pay court appointed counsel. And we had extensive testimony from from Douglas County on this problem. Some of the lawyers down there are handling an inordinate number of criminal cases, because you always have a certain number of the older, established lawyers who are more or less grandfathered out of the appointment list. They may be very able lawyers, but criminal practice has changed so rapidly over the past few years that if you haven't handled a criminal case for 3 or 4 years, you may be a very experienced lawyer and practiced for 30 years, but you're not capable of coming in and handling a criminal case.
But that's my point, though. Isn't that going to occur? A young attorney
finally
on the right case? I don't understand. No. You will be able to say no, right?
Yeah.
You can't say no right now.
I can say no, but I'm quite right, Mr.
judges aren't going to go to the brand new lawyer because they think they're not going to have to pay him for much. That isn't the way it works.
Yeah, but
they
when they run out of money, you can still say no.
That's right.
And the young attorney can take a case that he wants to practice.
Okay, I don't know. So maybe that's one of the things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And if I was an attorney, I'd love to do it.
And you'd love to do it until your problem goes down. Or your limits
are
not moved.
The judge is going to be reluctant to appoint himself.
Even though they're out of money.
like the thing George is a problem in this county, okay? Everybody knows George Paul's problem. Everybody knows that Don is a tax lawyer, okay? I'm an officer, I have to turn out wills, and I have a public by the town, you know? All I do, I just give them the public, my new stuff, I go through my chief side, okay? But I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer, okay? These are hypotheticals, you know? Over here, and we got, here's a lawyer, he was dissatisfied with what he's been doing. He's been a lawyer for 20 years, he's been working for personal injury cases. He doesn't want to handle anymore, he's got a very good term of intent for it. Doesn't want to handle anymore, just straight up. If you resent being lied to, you know, and having to, you know. Okay, you're the judge, and you're gonna select from all of us now. Who's gonna get it? Good old George.
George will say, sorry, buddy, I got a big case, and I'm here, and I'm gonna do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Then maybe they go a little safer. About the third time around, George's wife is gonna start complaining, and he's, you know, the check's coming home, and, you know, or she's, you know. I've been out with the girls playing golf, and they're all going to Tahiti or Hawaii or Pago Pago. How come we aren't going? Because, well, I've got like a full court company in a row, and we're going to be a lot of satisfaction here. You know, the doctor's not getting done, you know?
The problem is that George won't say no.
That's the
problem. And most lawyers won't say no.
They're in a bind. The lawyers are in a bind on this.
Yeah.
No,
I love to try them. I don't turn them down any time. Even when I don't have the time. But I just like spice. But it's true. But it's true. Play hard with the rest of yourself.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then when you expect far greater service than you do, you know, phone calls, people today, really you're going to find it, there's a chance that it's not that, you know, people stop in jail, and of course, it's not that, you know, going to all these kind of things, and you're supposed to report 9 o'clock in the morning, you've got to call the client, and then you've got to, you know, a client with a team, that's going to have to be in the value of the service, which is the same. So look, I can't keep that up, and you've got to work through many times, you still have to lie, okay? That's a factory matter. I mean, many times the fact of the matter. Going from a credible, respectable, peaceful employment to someone who sees them in the lies after all of them out. You let all of them out of his barn, then he's going to some defense, and then he does to his client, and then can't be in the library trying to bring yourself up to him, I'm going to have to come to the law. You're all done. You got 5, 10, 15 hours in the case, you're dead, and they'll never say a word to $150 because he worked for 2 years. And that happens over and over again. I admit there's a debate that lawyers were all esquire in terms of getting language into. But we're not.
Well, and you know, another thing, thanks, Matt. On 57, I recall, the statutory fee schedule was changed. It was increased somewhat. And we had the extensive testimony, especially from a lawyer over in East Florida, who had been appointed on a murder case. But it spent literally thousands of hours, and the case, after about 3 weeks trial, ended in a mid-trial. Then ended up trying again, and I can't recall his name. I said I'd listened to him for enough hours to remember his name, but as a result of that, the fee schedule was increased somewhat, and a provision written in for extraordinary fees, or for extraordinary costs. Reason, you know, in addition to this, so you could pick up, if you could establish the satisfaction of course that this is necessary in the defense of your client, you could get additional money to pay for expert witnesses. And we had to bring an expert up in California to go out and get a handwriting or a fingerprint expert. And so then in 67, the bar came back in and made out a good case. In 71, the bar came back in and had extensive drinks in the United States. I know we did in the Senate. I'm not sure. You probably the same way in the House. Made out a great case. The legislature has been very sympathetic and said, yeah, you're not getting enough. And about time that you're prepared to up the fee schedule to a reasonable figure, then you're faced with the very same thing, the very same thing we were talking about yesterday in connection to the county, but the county just ain't got the money to pay them. And I think that's really the nub of the problem here. I think most people, including at least the legislators I've talked to, feel that this is an unreasonable fee schedule. But the legislature would probably be more than delighted to pass a statute if the cost can then be passed on to the county. But think that's a fair statement of other states.
Yeah, I do. Somebody said, if this bill passed publicly, will result in much lighter use of public defenders. But I think that's obvious. Because it is a very serious problem. It has been for many years. And was this the best answer? I have no idea. But it is an extremely serious problem. I wouldn't want to be interpreted as saying anything on behalf of the government.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
I had a lot of reservations when I first read the bill. After listening to the discussion, I think this may be a way to get at the problem. I guess my reservation starts to indirect approaching it instead of direct way. The direct route has been tried and been unsuccessful for the reasons that Don said about it.
It's in Washington County that is not the big problem that one says to be defending public defenders. We had a suit filed, an accident suit kind of coming from the police station. That went up to part of the year, and the first came back. It was on technical, procedural matters.
Smaller town is my fault. Like the bills we've had in the past, where they say you shall pay them, reasonable compensation.
I'm not really saying that, though. That's why I like this bill. You're saying you can't define what you guys know. You're saying you can't.
I was concerned about the language in section four on that about declined to serve any person without just compensation. Now, of course, you wouldn't know what compensation you got until you were all done, but reasonable expectation. Now, you're going to get into a real hassle with the court. You say, Judge, I'm not going to take this appointment because I know you're not going to pay me what I'm worth.
You could, because we don't have any trouble.
I think every lawyer could be in the state could make you an appointment under this.
You
know. We need to get enough members of the local bar to band together and say, okay, under this new law, we're not gonna represent any more indigent tenants and force the county to hire a public defense.
That's what we'll
do. And that's what we'll do, we'll force the county.
I would
say. And I would
the indigent go in a county where there aren't any public defenders available. You see any basis to challenge it and thank you like this
on
the grounds of the Sixth Amendment?
You can't accept that I think the lawyers right there when you say these amendments, people are strong if they say they are. You can ask the same question, what happens in a county when you have a court where she's going to be in the room? Is it forced to go to the room? This isn't our agenda. It was raised earlier. This is just the fee schedule or the additional fees to finance legal aid. Oh,
did you raise a question about that?
Legal aid or this 22? I'm 22.
I just wanted to see we were talking about earlier.
The minutes have an amendment attached to them.
On 22-19, I talked to people.
Well, this was brought up at our full committee work session after the hearing. And then did you raise some question at the work session about the bill and if you were going to bring in some statistics or not?
Oh, let me
start.
I think
on
legal aid, $2.
Sure, and I was just sitting here thinking, we talked a few minutes ago about this. We now have a question for appointing a new district attorney in Lake County.
In what county?
Lake County. There are, if you don't count the present district attorney, there are four lawyers there. The present district attorney is leading the county, so at least four. They're in two different offices. And I can conceive of many, many, many. Well, let's see, one of them is in one office, is an attorney for the city. I can see in many situations where this wouldn't be any opinion available, even under the best of circumstances. If this passes and it's one available, he says, no, I don't think it's going to be that one. But maybe there could be some kind of mistake about. Wheeler County has two lawyers. One is the DA. Of course, I think they had one criminal case last year.
What was the county that we passed that law bill for last session, so they could hire an out-of non-resident DA or something to Milton Street, who's now here in Sunday?
I don't remember, but I mean, I don't remember the specific county, but the law now is at least for DA in anyway.
Yeah, but couldn't before, and that's where we had to.
Well, we could, but you first had to get the consent of all the lawyers in the county.
Yeah. They all had a right of first refusal.
Yeah, he's going to run instead of him.
They're always beating their brushes. Standing in line to grab that job.
Okay, I'll get in touch then. See if he's just going on for a second. Well, that's all we have to say.